Welcome back to My Seminary Life Presents Fish Fridays, the musical. Every week here during Fish Fridays, I have picked a different song that I think correlates to the different themes, postures, and practices of the Lenten season. And today, now that we're over the hump, we're on the downward trajectory of Lent at this point. In this week's episode, I would like to invite you to turn in your hymnals to hymn number... I don't know. It's probably different in every single hymnal, that is. But today we're talking about a good old-fashioned hymn, Man of Sorrows, a hymn that actually may not be best described as good old-fashioned. It's not nearly as old as I thought it was. But we're doing hymns today, doing a hymn today. And as I said, we're here on the downward, we're past the hump, now we're going downwards towards the end of Lent. And my plan for these final three episodes is to shift the focus away from the practices part, and maybe a little bit, not may, the plan is to shift our focus more towards Christ on the cross and to set our gaze on him. Because at the end of the day, when it comes to prayer, when it comes to fasting, when it comes to acts of charity, at the end of the day, we are focusing our attention towards Christ and him crucified. And that's what we're going to be doing here today as we look at Man of Sorrows. Now, I learned a lot about this hymn from an article that I found from the Gospel Coalition. And I, yes, am just as surprised as you are that I am speaking positively of the Gospel Coalition. I will link to that article in the description of this episode if you'd like to go check it out for yourself. And I found it very interesting just to learn the very brief history on this hymn. If you remember from not this past Christmas, I guess it would be two Christmases ago now, I did a whole sermon series / series here on MSL talking about different Christmas hymns as our guide through the Christmas story. And part of that was also diving into the history part, because oftentimes there's usually a little bit of interesting history and circumstances surrounding the writing of these different hymns, and that's where this article from TGC comes into play. This hymn was authored by Philip P. Bliss. It was written during the 1870s, which means that this hymn actually came out a few years after our previous song, Johnny, I Hardly Knew Ya. What a shock. It's a small world after all. This is why music history is so interesting to me, just to think about like when things were coming out. It's the same with movie history. I just find it very interesting when these things are kind of coming out and correlating to each other. They don't really correlate to each other in this circumstance, but I still thought it was interesting. Bliss was encouraged by D.L. Moody to become an itinerant preacher and evangelist. Interesting. And actually wrote this hymn shortly after becoming a preacher. Sadly, though, this hymn was published after Bliss's death. Tragically, Bliss and his wife were traveling by train, and there was a wreck. There was a train wreck. And reportedly, Mr. Bliss was able to escape the mess of the train wreckage, but actually went back into the wreckage to try and rescue his wife. They were both never recovered, although what was recovered was some of his belongings, including the composition for this hymn, Man of Sorrows. So we almost lost this hymn. We did lose two human beings, and actually more. I think I read in the article that nobody survived this train wreck. It was devastating. But of all things, what did survive was this hymn. Now, I will admit, there are aspects about the lyrics of this hymn that I really like, and then there are aspects that are not my favorite. I do understand the importance of talking about the reality of sin and our identity in Christ and how sin distorts that. But a lot of what this hymn is Jesus is great, you are pure evil and disgusting. Now, given the context of the fact that he was an itinerant preacher like D.L. Moody or Billy Sunday, Billy Sunday comes later, but since he's in this like traveling evangelist kind of line of work, it does make sense that he is going to write us hymn that is going to be Jesus is great, human, terrible thing that Jesus rescued. So it makes sense composition-wise that we have these two juxtapositions going against each other. I just kind of wished we tone it down a little bit because, although, again, understanding our humanity and how sin distorts us and Christ's redemptive work in that is important, I do think there is a line that we have crossed often that becomes this almost becomes this like thing that in our understanding of like our identity as human beings is forever going to be this vile, disgusting thing, even after we are redeemed and saved by his grace through faith. Now, when it comes to the parts that I do like, I do really like the opening line, which is consequently the title of this hymn, Man of Sorrows, What a Name. I do think it is good and important to underline the fact that this was not a happy occasion for Jesus. I think pulling at the Man of Sorrows aspect, that he's acquainted with our grief, that he in Gethsemane is praying so fervently that he starts sweating drops of blood. Like, I think that is not that I've ever really seen people try to portray the crucifixion as this like thing that Jesus was like excited to go do. But I like the focus being on the sorrow aspect, that this was a burden, a weight that Jesus carried in so many different ways. There was obviously, as it kind of points a little bit, well, no, actually, it gets to both of these in the hymn. But obviously, there's the burden that we normally think of like the burden of sin that he carried for us. Fine. But which is obvious. But also just like the physical, emotional, mental anguish that Jesus would have also had to have experienced when going through the crucifixion, I think is also something to really, that also goes with the whole, he is the man of sorrows. Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned, he stood. So the hymn even does touch on the fact that he's bearing more than just the sins of humanity in his anguish. He's bearing just the pain and suffering that comes with the human experience of the crucifixion and being condemned in our place. I think this stanza really captures what I was saying earlier about how much he really emphasizes the Christ is great, humanity sucks part, but also closes out with a line that I think is really good as well. Guilty, vile, and helpless we, spotless Lamb of God was he. Okay. Full atonement, can it be? Hallelujah, what a savior. I love that line, full atonement, can it be? Just because I am of the atonement variety, that it is at Christ's crucifixion and confirmed through his resurrection that we are fully atoned for. And so I just really like that line. I really like when we can write really good theological lines in our music. That's why I think, what's it called? A Beautiful Collision by the David Crowder Band is one of their best and also theologically rich songs. But there's also another line in there that is actually repeated in every single stanza. Every single stanza ends with this phrase, "Hallelujah, what a savior." So basically, the structure is Christ is great. He died for us, the worthless piece of poo-poo. Hallelujah, what a savior. That's basically how each stanza works. Rinse and repeat, change up some of the analogies and words and parts of the story. But I do like that concluding factor of hallelujah, what a savior. I really appreciate the... It's hard. It's complicated because on the one hand, I'm like, wow, we're really beating the whole humans aren't great part in this hymn. Okay, fine. Again, I affirm the fact that we need to talk about sin and our relationship to God in our sin. Fine. But I also just really like that it's not a self-centered message. In a way, yeah, it guess, you know, if the focus is just on me and my vileness, then it is kind of focused on me. But it's really a hymn about the man of sorrows, Jesus, what he did, and declaring, hallelujah, what a savior. And that is, as we begin our downward descent and land the plane here for Fish Fridays, as the musical begins to come to its final curtain closing, that is what I want us to think about today. The man of sorrow, hallelujah, what a savior. I want us to reflect on the fact that Christ, Jesus, experienced sorrow because of the crucifixion, because he died for our sins. He experienced sorrow through the process. But I also want us to express maybe less idolizing or drowning ourselves in thoughts about our vileness, and instead, in all of it, conclude, hallelujah, what a savior. That in the death, in his death, and in our depravity, hallelujah, what a savior. Because he chose to go through and experience this sorrow for us, the vile ones, to restore this broken relationship. Hallelujah, what a savior. And it just doesn't seem like enough to just say, hallelujah, what a savior. But it's one of those, like, what else can we say? What else can we do than to declare and to worship how holy and worthy and great our Savior is. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you haven't yet already, please rate and review this show wherever you get your podcasts. Pass this episode along to a friend. And if you haven't yet already, make sure you check out the other great shows here on the Anazal Ministries Podcast Network, like Theology on the Rocks, The Bible After Hours, and my sister show, Kung Fu Pizza Party, where I deliver high-flying action in 30 minutes or less and serve up some wisdom one slice at a time. And check out my YouTube channel, Studio 219, a place for faith and pop culture. I recently did a video, a gameplay video, my first gameplay video, and it's gotten more views than any video I've ever put out. Who would have thought? So if you haven't seen it yet, you can watch me be terrible at the game Hello Neighbor, if that's something you're into. Again, Studio 219. And you can reach the show at emailseminarylife@gmail.com if you ever want to send me an email about something related to the show, I guess. We got two more episodes, two more acts, two more songs in this musical endeavor we've gone through. We've had hymns. We've had Irish drinking songs. We've had U2. We've had Johnny Cash, and we've even had old school 2000s worship. Next week, new metal. We're just going to keep throwing weird genres at you. Yeah, we're going new metal next week. Maybe you'll be able to guess what new metal song I'm going to be talking about. Let's see if you can put that big brain of yours to good work. But until then, this is Brandon signing off, reminding you as always that theology is best served with a side of coleslaw.